It is better to find out how long you can sit without pain and without trouble. That is not depending on your body. That's depend on your mind. I had a friend once visited me at one of meditation center back in Sri Lanka. Then at that center, they meditate about hour and half. Each session goes hour and half. Then this friend visited me, and then this bell ring that indicate time to meditate. So at that time, everybody get into this meditation hall and they practice meditation. My friend said, "Well, I like to go and practice meditation." He said, "That's good." I asked him, "They are doing this practice about 1.5 hours. Can you sit that long?" He said, "Oh, that will be okay." "How come?" He said, "When do I do my studies, I sit 6-7 hours without moving, even without tea or without water. This will be okay." And he is actually a tough student. And that year, you know, he selected as a best student at the country, and he got all those good grades. Anyway, I said, "Okay, good." But I called him again and I said, "If you want to come back, you are welcome to come back." Then he went with that release. He returned in 5 minutes. I said, "What happened?" He said, "After 2-3 minutes, he cannot sit longer than that." That is not only his story. That story goes with everybody, all with all of us. That's how our body act. But each time when your body involved with pain, notice it. Okay, now I'm involved with the pain. Meditation is not a part of the prison. That way you can change your posture. But you have to make sure, is that right pain or fake pain? Because your mind gives fake trouble. Your mind used to run one to another. That's why you don't want to go to same restaurant again. That's why you don't want to have same breakfast every day. That's why you don't want to visit same friend every day. Because you want varieties. Even clothes, TV shows. You like different shows. You like different characters. Because our mind always seeking something new. It goes with body. Always want different movements. You want to move yourself. So what is that? That is part of your desire. Part of your desire. The desire coming from your mind. So we used to provide the desire, we used to feed the desire all the time. During the meditation, you are not a person who is providing desire. You are not the person who is providing food for desire. You are turning into observer. You are now observer. As an observer, you are not providing food. Your mind doesn't like it. Then it brings a lot of fake troubles, fake pain. If you feed one time, your mind seeks second opportunity right away. You may have already experienced this. Once when you change your posture, you want to change your leg after that. Maybe first time you manage to sit 8-10 minutes without moving, but you are changing your posture. In 2-3 minutes later, you want to change your posture again. That's how your mind trick you. Here, as an observer, you are not responsible for any of this. As an observer, you are not taking ownership. You are not taking ownership to your body. You are not taking ownership to your leg or your hand and your movements. even to your dress, even to your posture. You are trying to step back and observe. That is what you practice. What is the benefit? By observing yourself, you train how to not to react. All the time in our life, we do this part. We are reacting. We are react to everything, pleasure. And whenever somebody says something, you are reacting to that right away without thinking anything. Here, you are practicing how to observe without react. So that is the practice you are trying to bring into your real life. Because real life is the meditation pool. There you have to play with this meditation. You are not practicing meditation just for sitting posture. You are training your mind to bring to your real life. Then there you experience challenges. There you have challenges. There you get trouble. Then when you apply this practice to your daily life, then you know how to not to involve with these troubles. How to turn troubles the other way around. How to not to get into trouble. That's the benefit you are going to have. How do we train it? That is what we are practicing with this practice. So anyway, everything what's come to you, that's a part of your experience. Then you have to respond, or you have to accept this experience friendly and observe. That's a part of the meditation. Once when you see the pain, once when you notice the pain, that's a part of the meditation. Like if I ask you, what are the pains you had while you are driving here? Maybe you come up with nothing because you didn't notice anything. Because you used to react, you used to respond. You don't know how your hand move, you don't know how your legs move, how your hip move, how your shoulders move, you don't know. But during the meditation, you knew everything what's happened to you in that half an hour. You knew where you had pain, you know where you had trouble. So what happened? There you kept your attention. Now you know about this attention. So next time, you can much more observe. You can start not to react. Step back and say, well, if you don't take ownership to this pain, why do you react? Why do you respond? I may have a pain on my leg, but you don't notice it. You don't see it, because that is not you. The similar way, you have to observe your leg. Okay, I see pain there. Good pain.
Nice pain.
We like nice things. Then you like it. You like to keep it. Just change the attitude. So that way you are moving yourself slowly to reality. Once when you sit down to meditate, what do you have? Nothing. You just sit down here. What is the reality? You may have many thoughts. That is not part of the reality. That's from the past or future. You might create something. That also not the part of the reality. Pain. Pain exists, then it's going away right away. It's moving. It's changing. It's passing away. So if it is not exist, in the same amount or same pain and the same place, that is then permanent pain. Then nothing permanent. You cannot find anything permanent. It's changing. Now you are starting to observe these movements and impermanence with your present experience. What is the moving part? What is the sensation that moves with you? That's your breath. You always, your body automatically doing this inhale and exhale. Then you can pay, you can bring your attention there. Then you observe your present breath. Once when you observe your breath, you will find many things which is goes with your life, which is goes with reality. First thing you may find that breath always moving. Once when you observe present breath in few seconds, that will goes to past. Then you will have next breath. Even breath, you can see inhale and exhale. even inhale, begin, middle and end. You really cannot see the same place or same experience. You won't have same experience again. Sometimes longer breath, shorter breath, various kinds of breath. You cannot see same breath again. That's the reality. Now what are you training? You are training your mind to observe these changes. No matter what happened, you are training your mind to be with present experience. That is what you are doing with your mind. Then when you keep yourself with the present experience, you don't have pain with that. With the present experience, that is not even pleasant or unpleasant. It is not pleasant, that is not even painful or happy. That is, the experience is experience. So that is what you are training. That is how you are training yourself with this breathing meditation. Then with breath, you will learn many more things. Like, can you point out your life? Can you point, this is myself or this is my life, this is my experience? Once when you point something, it goes to past. Then you have something else. Can you catch yourself? Really, there's nothing to catch as yourself. That is what you're going to realize. Then you will observe and you will understand this impermanent and moving, and you will really observe this non-self there with your breathing meditation. So this is how you grow with your breath. This is how you are growing it with your experience and meditation. Then once when you practice meditation without any of these ideas, any of these methods, any of these teachings, you observe yourself, you observe your experience. Then you train yourself to observe this experience. You can bring this experience into your present life. Whenever you see something exist, you see that existence is changing, it's moving. Once when you see something you don't like, then you will not find anything you like or you don't like. You see the experience as it is. You observe how your mind get involved with it. Once when your mind involved with something not real, then you experience pain or happiness. Not in happiness, pleasure. Once in your experience, once when you involve with something not real, because something real is always changing, always moving. When somebody do something you don't like, you stop this connection with don't like. That way you observe what that person is doing. Without judgment, you observe what is happening. Without judgment, you don't get any pleasant or unpleasant experience, pain or positive energy. You don't involve with any of those. You see what it is. That's how you see the reality. That's how you experience the connection with yourself and outside. That's how you see you. So this helps you to observe the reality. So as a meditator, you practice, you maintain your focus, your attention with present moment, then you bring that experience with your daily life. That's what you do. Any questions or complain?
Not the complaint. So say some more maybe about observing something I don't like and disconnecting from that. I see someone who is hurting someone else badly, and I say, I don't like. Say some more.
Good. Practical question, huh? Okay, let's go with the same example. You see somebody hurting somebody that you don't want to see that. Now, who see that? You are the one who see this. That is outside. Once when you engage, then you have these judgments. You see, okay, somebody hurt somebody. Then you don't like that somebody is suffering and that somebody is experiencing. You don't want to see that. First of all, you notice your connection. How do you see it? How do you describe it? And how do you involve these judgments? Now, who's experiencing the pain? Not those people. Here, first of all, you see that you are engaged with this pain.
I just engaged with
that. Yes, you engage with that.
That was a good example of it. Yeah.
You engage with that. Once you engage with that, somebody might like it, somebody might don't like it. With your judgments, judgment fuel, put fuels into this experience. Then you are creating own pain. Now pain is not outside, pain is right here in your head. Now you are having this pain and suffering. It's not outside. If I go with that sound experience, if that sound came from the bird, you would say, oh, it's beautiful, it's like. But if it has come from the cell phone, some of you might like, some of you don't like. But what is your experience? Your experience is sound. But you didn't hear the sound. You hear your judgment. Then you involve the judgment. That judgment made this experience into pleasant or unpleasant. By hurting. There are people who's enjoying hurting each other. Look at, how do you enjoy the boxing? How do you enjoy
football?
Not really football, you know, there's a I don't know what's the proper word for that. The people beat each other and
fighting.
Yes. How do you enjoy that? Then there you enjoy hurting. So then there you don't have any complaint. But when your neighbor hurt somebody else, there you have complaint. The same thing, but your judgment make the difference. Now you have many other things to fuel into these judgments. Look at your experience. First of all, you hurt yourself by involving with this judgment. So now look at this. Somebody just look at this without judgment, somebody looking at this with judgment. With judgment and without judgment, you are not doing anything to that incident what is happening over there. So then it is better to look at that without judgment, without hurting yourself. Now when you have this neutral experience, then you will be able to see that experience in more wider angle. With wider angle, you don't involve with this personally. Once when you are not involved with this personally, you would be able to take right step towards them. Then you would have right approach without anger or without any other emotions. You would be able to explain to them, well, maybe this is not good because you both hurting each other by doing this. Even to person who is hurting somebody, that person in itself bring itself hurting the person, maybe anger. The person who's doing something out of anger, that person really hurt them first before hurt somebody else. Then you would be able to point out that properly once and you don't hurt you. That's how you are not acting properly once when you engage with this emotionally. But if you disconnect from that, you'd be able to take right action. Not only that, once when you're not involved with that personally, you will not hesitate to take the action. But if you involve with emotionally, you might think, well, I don't like it, but I can't involve with that. That is their job. That is part of your emotions. The person who can see those things properly, they automatically gain this determination to do something. They have self-confidence. Out of self-confidence, you would speak for right. You would speak for right action. You would not hesitate to not to do anything. But there, once when you speak for right action, the most important thing is you have not engaged emotionally, then nobody or nothing can hurt you. You only try your best. You only try your best to stop it. But no matter what happened out there, it won't hurt you. Then do you have that insurance? With that insurance, you go and you try to do your best. You will not remain silent. As a person who sees things properly, will not remain silent in that kind of situation. You would do your best and you would speak honestly. And that is effective. Because you are not engaged emotionally, those words, that action will be effective, strongly effective, and others will hear that.
So in the answer to the question that was first asked about how long should I practice meditation is...
Until it hurts.
Until it hurts. Until the mind does not...
That can be one day, that can be 3 days, that can be 7 days, one life, few lifetimes.
Yeah.
It depends that which vehicle you are using to go to Chicago. Yeah, it's a very important thing is self-commitment. It's a very important thing. How much you respect yourself, that is the important point you should have. That's the question you should ask yourself. How much you respect yourself. No question, we want others to respect us. No questions there. You want everybody else to respect you. But the question is, how much do you respect you? If you really respect you, you will not let others to hurt you. That is not with others. You have this all security. You are the one who is opening doors to others to hurt you. And once when you are not letting others to hurt you, you close all these doors that others can hurt. It will bring a strong self. And as a strong person, then you see the value, you will protect those doors, you will protect the values. Then you will do something good to yourself. Then to do that, you should have self-commitments. Once when you see something, well, this is not really good for me, then you have self-commitment to not to perform or not to do those things. Once when you recognize something that is good to you, you should notice and you should have self-commitment to perform that, continue all those practices, continue all those things. Because the thing is, none of us can run away from aging. None of us can run away from death. Those things come to us. None of us can run away from that. That way, you will not have this moment again. You will not have today again. You should not waste today or this moment by doing something wasteful, by doing something meaningless, by doing something just for that moment. It is better to perform something very meaningful, beneficial to yourself. That's how you use yourself. You need that understanding to cultivate yourself. You need that understanding to help yourself. That is encouraging you to have self-commitment. So have self-commitment. Do not let pleasure to overtake the self-commitments. Most of us, once when involved with this pleasure, we do meaningful stuff when you don't have anything else. Like you come to meditation if you don't have anything else. And if you have sun, oh, it's a beautiful day, I should go out for walk. Or I should go out for the picnic. But those are really impermanent. It provides energy only for that moment, only in that moment. But if you train your, like this kind of thing, this is like a charging your battery, then you can change it, you can use it. Then again, once when you are using this battery, you have to recharge it. If you don't recharge, you know what's happened. Then you complain and you fight and all those things. Your cell phone experience is enough to understand this. It is better to have self-commitment, to cultivate yourself. Without self-commitment, nobody can cultivate yourself, nobody can have meaningful life. You have the choice, not your parents, not your spouse, not your work, none of them. There is not with outside. It's within you.